the leader of the Islamic Revolution, told a gathering of Iranian Olympic athletes, "If I am going to offer you a breakdown of the recent developments, it goes as the Zionist regime was knocked out in Al-Aqsa storm. Hamas, not as a government and country with ample facilities, but as a resistance group, managed to deal a knockout blow to the usurping Zionist with all those facilities." Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian, on a visit to Lebanon, said, "The time is not on the side of the Israeli regime following 6 or 7 weeks of indomitable resistance by Palestinians. The resistance displayed by Gaza proved that America and the Israeli regime were the definitive losers," he stressed, adding that Palestinians will determine the future of Gaza and Palestine. He said, "We have heard from the resistance leaders in the region that their hands remain on the trigger until the full rights of Palestinians are achieved and the struggle against the occupation ends." Meanwhile, the truce deal announced recently has been welcomed by many countries. China's foreign ministry spokesperson Mao Ning said, "Beijing hopes the deal will help alleviate the plight of the humanitarian crisis, promote the de-escalation of conflicts and ease tensions." Russia described the deal as the first good news for a long time, batting for humanitarian pauses. Experts believe that the Israeli regime was forced to accept a truce deal amid growing public opinion against it across the world and the Palestinian resistance movement's fatal blows against the Zionist regime. Despite the internal opposition, Netanyahu had to concede to save his skin. But the events that have unfolded since October indicate that the occupying regime is already on the brink.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Muslim Lady from IRIB English Radio, and this is Umabiha Mukhtar, the host of the show. And our guest today is Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher and is going to enlighten us about the status of a woman according to the leader, according to Sayyid Ali Khamenei. So first, Sister Salma, Salamun Alaikum.
Wa Alaikum Salam wa Rahmatullah.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you also.
What does Rahbar have to say about marriage and the time of marriage? Especially, like I said, in this time of age, it's more difficult.
First of all, Ayatollah Khamenei says marriage does not bring about difficult livelihood at all. Why does he say that? Of course, it has roots to the divine teachings of the Holy Quran, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yughnihumullahu min fadli. You know, I will make them like needless from my fadl, from my extra mercy. So there was one instance when this issue was discussed among the students, and they came and, you know, sought some advice towards our leader, and he said that this is not a side issue. They just sidelined it, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, what about this issue that, okay, you are stressing so much that the marriage age has gone up now, yeah? And you're stressing on the marriage and spouse selection and everything. So now, you know, it's just a side issue. Discuss it later. But he says this is not a side issue. It's the main issue.
Yeah.
And when he says it's a main issue, everybody starts laughing because they're so happy
that
they know, like, the spiritual leader understands this issue is so important for youths. But he says that as far as you people are concerned about worrying about how to bring up the livelihood, it's not that like this at all. You start off simply. It's only some traditions that you forego. You have to forego them. For example, a very high price to pay before the marriage. You know, it's called the mehr.
Yeah.
That should be foregone a bit. Make it lesser. And a very high budget for the, for example, the ladies to prepare before they go to the house. To a whole setting of the house should be. That even should be foregone. Who said that you have to need? Okay, little, it's okay. Whatever gifts you want to give. But who said that all these requirements, it's like a plus and a plus and a greater plus. You know, if you go and see a man, if he sees that the wife is less in her mehr, her prize dowry, then he will be encouraged to even say that it's okay that you come to my house just like that. There are no these kind of traditional cultural things that, you know,
are
not, they're not Islamic also. Then the Bastan Iran, for example, is talking about Iran. When we talk about it generally, we see that everywhere somehow expectations are there. Right? If you give us this, we will give you this. These people didn't give us this, so we would give them this.
Yeah.
We, for example, have to divide or something. You can share it out equally. If the people can afford, well and good. If they can't afford, just take the qualities and the criteria, look at the criteria of marriage and marry at the right age before you find yourself getting a little imbalanced in your nature. For example, you know, modesty goes away. If you go and see a man, he passes through a phase, he controls himself, his desires, and then he sees he sometimes gets out of hand. He finds other ways to satisfy his desires. And then it becomes a kind of a natural feeling, whether he sees the opposite sex or he doesn't see, you know, it becomes like a very normal thing, which is not normal.
Yeah.
Allah wants that excitement to be. So marry at the right time. And it's not wrong for a boy or a girl to even take help from her parents and say that now I'm in the right age to get married. If there's a suitable spouse, please consider him for me or her for me.
True,
you know,
true.
And this is a very valued thing. And parents should not also shun off or shy off. You know, or even the children should not shun off or shy off. They have to speak confidently. Who will they speak to? To their friends? Ayatollah Khamenei says a very good thing here also in this speech. He says that, you know, in ancient times, we had people to come and bring the spouse, the proposals.
Yeah.
We had a matrimonial kind of foundation, like a institution, where people used to select and offer for spouse selection, that whoever wants, you know, like, if they found a suitable girl for a boy, they would offer that proposal. But these days, he says that the universities could do that.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So, but, you know, people take it so much for granted. They feel that, no, studies are more important than this. This is a value inborn, a modesty that would, you know, affect the future generation also, how pure your children are, your offsprings are. But it's regarded as a matter that is after studies, after job.
Very true.
He says, no. Marry at the right time when, you know, you feel that now you're ready to get married, that you have to get married. And people who are elders have to support them financially and also morally.
True.
Encouraging them and also finding for them the suitable partners. So he mentions universities are also a good area for that to happen.
I think this just reminded me of an example of there were some people who are going around and asking the females, the girls, that if there is a boy who has, for example, they gave a small amount of money and has a really small house. Would you be looking into marrying this person? He's very good akhlaq, everything else, but he's not so wealthy. He's working right now. You would have to support him, like you'd have to kind of build yourselves up together. And almost all the women said, yes, yes. But then they went to the parents of these people and they said, would you allow? They said, no, like, you know, not possible. And then they would go back and tell the, you know, the girls that, oh, look, this is what your parents have said. And they said, but why? Can you ask them that, did they marry in the same situation? Were they, when they married, did they marry to, like, you know, rich people and all? And when they went back to us, they said, no, you know, the times were like that. So they said, you see, right now, it's kind of become such that all the parents want their children to get the best of things possible. But who said the best is when you marry into a very lavish or rich family?
Yeah.
The best is when you have a somebody for your child who's going to take care of, you know, them in this world and the hereafter. And who said, you know, living a bit of a hard life is something bad?
And who said that they should interfere in matters that the person can also have a role to decide on, right?
True, yeah.
So if a girl, okay, she has to take the consent of a guardian, but as far as the criteria of the spouse is concerned, as far as what is the criteria, the master criteria, is wealth the master criteria? Mm-hmm. The master criteria is iman and amal salih and compatibility. So who, like, they are now interfering, they are nosy. In fact, you know, it should be in such a way that if women, they keep on getting hindrance from their family to get married. They can even go to the hakim and ask the special permission if the guardian is not giving them.
Permission
that much,
yeah,
yeah. That much modesty is stressed on.
Very true. So, inshallah, let us just stop for a quick break and we will continue this discussion in a short while.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So we have been talking about what the leader has to say about, you know, the values of marriage and the time of marriage and how, you know, marriage is so important that you should take very many things into consideration, but it shouldn't be delayed so much. So what are the practical measures of marriage that he has stated?
Yeah, he said that the motivation for marriage should turn into a practical measure. And this is to say marriage should be promoted. Allah, the Exalted, says, if you are in poverty, Allah will give you means out of His grace. It's a divine promise. We should trust this promise and we should, just as we trust other divine promises. Marriage and starting a family has not made and will not make individuals experience hard living and conditions. This means that one does not necessarily go through rough times because of marriage. On the contrary, marriage may solve the problems of individuals. And it happens like that, that when a person gets married, somehow Allah makes that peace and tranquility build into a motivated feeling of working, right?
True, yeah.
So a person is so much at ease that he feels like now doing something or the other. And then when he does that, Allah fills him with grace. Of course, one step is from you and then 10 steps from Allah. So it's not as if you sit down and the risk will come
waiting,
flying, yes, over. So it's that motivation and that feeling of being wanted from a spouse, that you feel so lucky, that you feel you've got the whole world, especially if they are compatible with each other, you can relate to each other, you feel so satisfied, you don't even need a friend. And that fills you with motivation to work, to earn.
Very
and
true.
That gives you a lot of barakah. Then that risk is from the asman, that is from the skies. So Allah has promised the risk and the sustenance of every individual. In the same way, the spouse will also, the man will also earn his livelihood in a very beautiful way. And in whatever he takes a step, Allah will add the barakah, especially if he did it for the sake of Allah, if he married for the sake of Allah. Ayatollah Khamenei continues that the academic environment is a good and appropriate environment for preparing the ground for marriage. That is this academic environment that
yeah.
is they live, the university students. In my opinion, youth themselves, their families and officials in charge of universities should think about and make a decision about the issue of youth marriage. They should think themselves. You see?
You should take it as important.
Yeah, and anybody, if you go and see, this is just a university he's talking about, a community. A community should look at some special youth who have not gotten married, maybe counsel them and prepare some kind of, a ground for them to get married. Either give them jobs, good jobs, or also find for them good spouses. And be, in fact, in every community, in every, maybe some kind of friends, gatherings, there should be some kind of people who think about this. This issue, yeah. It shouldn't be something that, no, now, you know, like, we don't want to get involved in such matters. Because sometimes, you know, a person becomes selfish and feels that if I arrange the marriage and the marriage does not work out, then I'll be blamed. But it's not like that. It's just that you introduce and then they do their findings, right? So you have to take part in this kind of a matchmaking thing. In our levels also, we can do that. We can be concerned of certain people and feel like wanting them to find the right spouse.
And I think what you mentioned at the start about how this is something that will also bring you closer to Allah. There was someone who had mentioned that, you know, this loneliness that we feel, you always feel that, you know, you want somebody to feel this loneliness. And then when you get married, you kind of understand that there is something so special between this bond. You kind of understand that this is how it feels not to be lonely generally. And then you get to this higher realization that, okay, now I am still feeling lonely. That means there is something greater. There is something greater that can fill this void. And that
is
Allah.
That's a very beautiful point, because you realize that, okay, I thought that I was lonely because of, maybe not having a spouse.
Yeah.
When you do that in the right way and in the best, most pleasurable way, still you feel a yearning, So it gives you that higher realization. Otherwise, you're just stagnant there only, wanting to have a good partner. So marriage fills that gap.
Very true.
And realizing that, the thirst for Godhead, the
Very
thirst
true,
to know
yes.
Allah and get closer to Allah and getting closer to utmost perfection. Ayatollah Khamenei then says, there are certain wrong notions and traditions that are highly problematic. These wrong traditions are an obstacle in the way of promoting marriage among youth. Therefore, they should be practically broken. In my opinion, who are young, inquiring and enthusiastic, and you who suggest breaking many habits and traditions, you should break the wrong traditions that exist in the issue of marriage. This is another issue that I deem necessary to stress, he says. So, you know, many people have the wrong notions that, okay, earning a livelihood only will make a person, you know, get happy in their, like, living together. In this world, and give them success and things like that. That is now upon the youths, he says, to break the notion.
Mm.
You should stand up and say, no, this is not important for me. For example, a lady should tell her family that meher is, high meher is not important for me. You know, living in a very okay house or getting a small payment or job or something is all right for me. I can do with that if the main qualities are there. And Allah says, just try it out and see what my fazl entails you.
Very
this
true.
Is something to really experience and then to come to know.
And usually when they say, oh, why is the woman usually the one, you know, having to take the first step, or the one who's compromising, you know, there was a study done and between couples where usually when the husband was asked to say about the wife, you know, they were usually saying, you know, it's good. They were usually having like a very
neutral
answer. But the women had so much to say, oh, but, you know, not in this and not in that. So women generally their design is such, you know, where they're very intricate about everything. Kind of bringing this realization that women's role is so vital. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we hope to see you again in the next episode.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is an admonition worth pondering upon from the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. You, the servants of Allah, are the ones to maintain his injunctions and prohibitions, as the carriers of his religion and his revelation, and the propagators of his religion among other nations.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Agha Mujtaba Tehrani. Please stay tuned.
در هر یک از این درجات تقوا اونجا صبر مطرح میشه ابتدا.
The issue of patience bears great relevance to each and every level of piety. For example, with regards to general piety, which is first and foremost, it is the concept of refraining from the unlawful acts and performing the obligatory acts. At this stage, one's soul is placed under a lot of pressure until it becomes used to it. Therefore, man should show great endurance in the face of such a difficult stage. This endurance at this stage is called sabr, meaning patience. When patience is exercised for a long time, then that suffering is eased. At first, it might be a very difficult task. However, after it is repeated, it becomes a habit and there is no difficulty anymore. Sometimes the opposite happens. This concept also holds true with respect to sins. That is, refraining from committing sins at first proves to be a very difficult task. But later on, if it is repeated, it gradually becomes a habit. At this point, patience plays no role because at this stage it is quite the opposite. That is, committing a sin is a cause of great discomfort and distress for the person.
همینطور شما بیاید در باب واجبات محرمات.
This process can be seen in many different things related to the concept of piety, such as in the things one must do, one must not do, the things of which one becomes doubtful, the manners which have to be observed, as in doing the recommended acts, refraining from those acts which are makruh, meaning they are allowed but are better avoided, and so on and so forth. All of these have to do with bodily acts, so to speak. After we pass this stage of bodily and outwardly acts, we must come to the stage of matters which pertain to our soul. There are some people who, God forbid, have negative and immoral qualities such as jealousy, arrogance, greed, and so on. These are all things which relate to the issue of morality and ethics. If such people wish to get rid of such immoral qualities within themselves, they will at first feel great tension. So they must be patient. This state continues until gradually these characteristics are gone and good qualities are replaced with them. For example, arrogance turns into humility. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by the late Ayatollah Agha Mujtaba Tehrani. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. In another episode, God bless you all and fi amanillah.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
In Gaza. People live in different parts of the world with different races, cultures, and beliefs. We also live in Gaza, next to the Mediterranean coast. Gaza is one of the cities of Palestine. My city is considered the most dense city in the world, with 2 million inhabitants. In the past years, this entire territory was called Palestine. But now there are only two small territories in the east and west, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Israeli occupiers have been looting our land for years and made life difficult for us. After elections, Hamas took control over Palestine's affairs, and the compromise strategy with Israel was officially rejected. We all reached an agreement that Palestinians should return to their cities. After elections, the Israeli occupation closed all the gates and crossings of Gaza. Even Egypt, which was our neighbor and shared borders with us, closed its crossings to us. They built a fence around our city, and this meant that people's necessities like food, medicine, and everything related to our life must enter and leave with the control and permission of the Israelis. 12 years have passed since Israel's measure,
and on the other side of the fences, the Israeli occupiers protect their own people with the heaviest weapons so they can be calmly busy looting our lands in the place that has been our homeland for years. But there is no peace in this side. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. And these are my sisters and brothers who are defending this part of their land with their blood and stones. Palestinian men and women always protest. The Israeli regime always kills them. I wish conflicts happened behind these fences, but the occupiers aren't satisfied with that. Three devastating wars were imposed on us in these years, 2008, 2012, and 2014. These recent wars and destructions wanted us to give up the choice we had made. But despite all the difficulties, the option of resistance is still our first and last option. Bombardment during day and night is a normal thing for us. But the ambulance siren, mother's grief, and father's sadness will never become normal for us. The Israeli occupiers confiscated our lands, burned the city, and did not spare even the animals. The only zoo in Gaza City was on Salahuddin Street. The animals were dying one by one. Finally, an animal protection group moved them out of the city. But anyway, the law of the jungle is sweeter for the animals than the law of the jungle of the Israeli regime. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. Gaza is filled with stories, voices, tears, uneasiness, and life inside these fences. My life is one of the stories of this city. I have to travel abroad to treat my legs, but the fences don't let me. The closure of the passages that connect to Israel and Egypt and the sea borders don't let me go out of Gaza. I like Gaza, its beaches, its sea, its farms and call to prayer sound. I like to listen to the call to prayer that is played 5 times a day. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the art and Dabka dance. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the Palestinian life and Palestinian mother's clothes. I like sparrows chirping and flowers' aroma. I like the soil of my homeland, despite all dark and difficult moments that exist here. I like to leave Gaza freely to participate in the tournaments. I like to see my compatriots free. I like to see the enemy defeated. We don't demand a lot of things in this world. We only want to have the right to life, like other people in the world. These children need electricity so they can study at nights. They shouldn't wake up by the sound of bombs and rockets during the nights. The rhythm of their mother's voices shall lull them to sleep, so they get up with hearing sparrows chirping. This is what we want. We love our life. We love our life if we find a way to live it.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is another episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. In this week, we're going to speak about the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. 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 Today, Wednesday, is the 15th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Retreat Calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Azar, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of November, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's listen to verse 103 of chapter 3 and then listen to the point of it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa'tasimu bihablillahi jami'an wa la tafarraqu. واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون.
And hold firmly to the rope of Allah altogether, and do not become divided. And remember the favor of Allah upon you when you were enemies and He brought your hearts together and you became, by His favor, brothers. And you were on the edge of a pit of the fire and He saved you from it. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses that you may be guided.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the ultimate subject, which is the problem of unity and standing against any separation, is referred to. The opinions are divided among the commentators as to the meaning of the term the court of Allah. And in Islamic literature, there are also varieties of narrations about it. But there is no difference in the basic meaning of them, because the purpose of the court of Allah is any means of connection with the pure essence of Allah, where it be the Quran, the Prophet, or his progeny, Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim. وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد.
During the previous episodes of today's special, we opened one subject, and that was the answer of this question: what is the meaning of tawassul, or resorting to Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them? And the continuation of the answer, we can say some people claim that asking for help to other than Allah is polytheism. Such people should never go to doctor when they become sick, because this is polytheism or shirk. That going to doctor is a type of seeking a help from a specialist, even though they do not say by their tongue that they are getting help from the doctor. Acting shirk is enough. Also, they should not ask any question from anyone or request anything from anyone, because all these are shirk. Furthermore, they shouldn't eat any food, because they should not help themselves by any other than Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Today we are going to talk about the concept of tawassul, that is, resorting to the intermediary. Some specific people can intercede with Allah by His permission, but this is not granted to every people. Now, I'd like to give also more references from hadith in Sunni sources and Sunni collections in this regard. The first reference is on the tawassul of Ibn Abbas to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please note that Ibn Abbas spoke the following words after the martyrdom of Imam Ali. Thus, he did ask for intermediary of what you called a dead person. When the death time of Abdullah ibn Abbas approached, he said, "O Allah, I seek to approach toward you by means of wilayah, accepting the mastery of Ali ibn Abi Talib." You can find this hadith and narration in Fada'il al-Sahaba by Ahmad ibn Hanbal, volume 2, page 662, tradition number 1129. Please note that Ibn Abbas died in 68 or 687, which was 28 years after the martyrdom of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If resorting or tawassul to a dead was considered association of shirk, then Ibn Abbas would not dare to say so, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal would not have recorded it. As for resorting to a life, Al-Bukhari reported that Umar, the second caliph, used tawassul to Al-Abbas for rain. It can be found again in Sahih al-Bukhari, and as narrated Anas. whenever there was drought, Umar ibn al-Khattab used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain through Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, saying, "O Allah, we used to request our Prophet to ask you for rain, and you would give us. Now we request the uncle of our Prophet to ask you for rain. So give us rain." And they would be given rain.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, more about love for Ahlul Bayt that puts hearts at rest. Love for Ahlul Bayt not only resolves difficulties at the point of death and the hereafter, but also relieves worldly problems. One of the blessings of the love for Ahlul Bayt is that it puts the hearts at rest, which is a blessing for the man who lives in this world and anxiety and restlessness. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, says, when the verse, chapter 13, verse 28 of the Holy Quran says, "Now surely by Allah's remembrance are the hearts set at rest," was revealed. Allah's Messenger said, "This is about who one loves Allah and His Messenger, loves my Ahlul Bayt truly and not falsely, loves believers both in the past and in the future. By Allah's remembrance, they love one another." Truly, one whose love for Allah, the Holy Prophet, Ahlul Bayt, and the believers is true has tranquility and peace of mind. Any trader, thieves, oppressors, usurpers, bribe-takers, usurers, ogles, adulterers, corrupts, defrauders, deceivers, and sinners can never enjoy peace of mind and tranquility. However, the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, who are clean from all these pollutions, enjoy peace of mind and their hearts are set at rest. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin Nabiyil Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Why is it necessary for the Imam to be infallible? This is the question of this part of today's special. As with the Prophet, the Imam is a protector of religion, hence the necessity of his infallibility. The reason being that both theoretical and practical protection are his responsibility, which can clearly only be achieved through infallibility from both sin, both for the practical part and error, and forgetfulness for the theoretical part. If the Imam was not to be infallible, he would surely at least make mistakes, if not sin, and that would be mean his failure in protecting and explaining a portion of religion, which would mean that portion isn't of importance to Allah, while we are sure that isn't the case, because all of religion is important to him, and that is why he has sent a prophet to transform it in its entirety to us. One of the reasons for having an imam is for him to guide the people and prevent them from making mistakes. If the imam is to also make mistakes, then how is he supposed to help others? In that case, he himself will be in need of another imam to notify him of his own mistakes, and so on and so forth. This series of imams must eventually end with an imam that is actually infallible.
We believe that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the prophet, and he will remain the prophet till the day of judgment. Although physically he's dead, but his message, his spirit, his influence is there. And this is why we mention him. If Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had been expired, then why do we have to mention him in the adhan? Why in the adhan we say ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah? Why do we mention him in the iqamah before the prayers, ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah? Why do we mention him and salute him, assalamu alayka ayyuha an-nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, when we conclude the prayers? If the Prophet is dead and he is unable to hear or communicate and he does not get our message, then it's a futile. It's waste of time if you greet him. But it is part of the prayers in both the traditions, in the Sunni tradition and the Shia tradition. We greet the Prophet, we salute him during our prayers. So this means they can hear you and God will give them permission. Tawassul is not rivalry with God. Tawassul does not believe that you believe that the Prophet is an ilah or the Lord or God and he can do the function instead of God. He can help you away from God, independently from God. He possesses a power that he rivals God and then you don't need God. This is not the meaning of tawassul. The meaning of tawassul is that you believe this is the messenger of God, God has given him certain privileges and rights and jurisdictions, and God wants you to go to him so he can facilitate the journey to God. So the Prophet can facilitate your journey to God through the Prophet, through him. He will make that journey easy. And you acknowledge his position. When you go to him, you don't forget about him. Because if we don't go to the Prophet, we forget that there was someone called... Muhammad becomes only history. He becomes irrelevant in our contemporary life. You don't pay attention to him. He becomes someone not important. But when we go to him and we ask for his intercession, we beg him to intercede on our behalf to God, this is an acknowledgement that he's important. He's still the messenger of God. He's still the gate of mercy for mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you so much for your company, and till another episode and another meeting, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Hamas releases 10 Israeli captives and 2 foreign nationals in return for 30 Palestinians freed by Israel in the fifth phase of a prisoner swap. The Palestinian Health Ministry sounds the alarm about the dire situation of hospitals in northern Gaza, despite the truce describing it as catastrophic. Iran says durable peace in Palestine can only be achieved by ending the occupation and restoring Palestinians' inalienable right to self-determination. Our top story for this half hour: the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and the Israeli regime have released more captives and handed them to the Red Cross as part of an extended truce deal between the two sides. Qassam Brigades, the military wing of Hamas, has posted a video showing crowds in Rafah City celebrating the release of Palestinians.